Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo back from Alaska here in the Pacific Northwest, where, yes, we've got our gray skies. I tried to haul some of the sunshine back from Alaska, but it just didn't want to hang on to the plains. So we're having to deal with the gray skies that we're so well known for. Today we've got a wonderful guest. We have Star Cochran. She's put out a very, very good book called The Bread and Butter Chronicles. And it is written in the form of a novel, and in fact, as a subtitle, it says, A Novel Approach to Personal Finance. Star Cochran, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Donna. So good to be here.
You are a lady that has been involved with money, how to work with it effectively, for a long time. Since 1984, you have your own company, Star Cochran and Associates. You work with individuals on their taxes, and you also do audits. And you became a certified financial planner in 1990. And then in 2006, because you were working with independent broker-dealers, you decided you would retire and come from that particular aspect. And you wanted to really get involved with writing and speaking and coaching. And so you became what's called an enrolled agent, as far as taxation is concerned, in 1991. Star, why do you think you've had such a passion for working with money? Is it something that was a part of your life when you were growing up, or is this something you discovered later on?
Well, I had some very good teachers. Mom and Dad were hard workers, and I have to say that Mom has been very good with her money, and showed me that we need to be resourceful and we need to kind of figure out what's going to work for us, and that's how we're going to move forward and be financially successful.
So many times, women especially, and this is apparently the group you're really trying to orient yourself towards, are the women, because so frequently women have not been encouraged to handle the money. If you are talking with women who are of an older generation, frequently their husbands handled everything. And that's part of what your book is about. But it's taking place in today's world. We're not talking about somebody that's 80 years old here. We're talking about men and women whose lives go through some changes that they had not anticipated. And one of them was Rita Sterling and her husband Cliff. Who was the basis of this example in your story? Was there a client that you found that went through this exact scenario?
Well, as it turns out, the book starts out with really my story, except that, thankfully, my husband did not die. But it's kind of like the old story about the cobbler's family has no shoes. Well, I was so busy working with everybody else's finances, and not that mine were totally set aside and that I didn't pay any attention to them, but at 41 years old, I didn't think that there was the remotest possibility that I could possibly lose my husband. Mm-hmm. And so when he had his heart attack, I for that moment thought, well, what if something happened to him? How are we exactly? And I think that so many of us, even as financial planners, we put our lives on automatic pilot, including our financial affairs. So our bills get paid, we make the money, the bills get paid, and we're just kind of in this cycle. And rarely do we sit down and examine our financial situation unless something causes us to, such as a significant event, such as my husband's heart attack.
Mm-hmm. I had a very dear friend years ago, and she was quite young. She was only in her early 30s. She and her husband had just adopted two children, and he went out to the mailbox to pick up some mail and was hit and killed by a teenage drunken driver at his mailbox. And they had just adopted these children. And Joetta was very, very fortunate in that he had good life insurance. But within just that day, and she wasn't at home, her husband was gone. So she had two little ones to take care of, had to manage all of the other aspects. And Rita, the character that you have in the book, that was her big aha. She was responsible for everything, absolutely everything. And that's what happened with my friend Joetta.
Exactly. Well, and finances tend to be one of the family chores that's divvied up in a partnership. And so, you know, yard work belongs to one, and cleaning up the house belongs to another, and handling the finances is yet another. And I think what one of the messages in the book is that this is a very important area that both partners need to be very proactive with. It shouldn't be just one or the other. Maybe one or the other to do the day-to-day kind of stuff, but certainly a subject in an area that, that both should be talking very actively and regularly about.
Now, it's interesting to me that you say that the story of Rita and Brian was related to you, because I would have thought Lori would have been more about you. This is another one of your characters, Lori and Bob, and Lori is a pretty savvy gal. She's the saver, and her husband, Bob, is the spender.
And
they really have some challenges.
They do. I have to say I'm in each of the characters at least a little bit. So the book may start off with a situation about me and my husband. But, yes, you're right. I do have Lori has a lot of me in her. I'm fortunate enough that my husband is not the shopaholic, but it's a situation that I have come across many times in my many years of working with couples, that there have been many times where one or and sometimes both perhaps live way beyond their means and to the detriment of the family and certainly the other partner.
Now, in today's world, we have a lot of individuals that are going through very tough times. They've lost jobs. They've had their home foreclosed upon. The situations can be so variable. One of the unique things about Rita, the first character that we mentioned, is that when her husband died abruptly, he was in charge of a company that was going belly up. And so he had not let her know about all of the expenditures. This is a scenario that I know many other people can relate to, saying, oh, I had a spouse, and this is what he did. I think of Debbie Reynolds. I remember reading a story about her and her husband, Carl. I don't remember what his last name was. And lo and behold, she found that she had gambled away everything. He was a gambling addict, and so, bingo, she was destitute. And I think he died, and she was left with a mess. It was just incredible. So these things do happen. I mean, big stars, an average person, these things do happen. So it doesn't make any difference what your economic class is. That is something that your book addresses. What can we do? Now, we have another character, Marla, Cassaway, and Ned. So we've got another scenario here. What was going on with Marla and Ned?
Well, Ned is an accountant, and he was in charge of the family finances, and Marla is the at-home mom, and very busy with the kids and keeping up with things at home, and she just didn't have an interest in the finances. And, of course, with Ned being an accountant, you would think, well, then he would be responsible and conservative, and she felt very comfortable with that. Well, he got involved with some trading, And he got himself into a pickle where he ended up losing all of their money and then had to start using credit cards to kind of keep up appearances. And I think what his hope was, which can certainly be true for a lot of couples, if one is spending or in a position such as Ned found himself, well, if I just keep working at this hard enough, I won't ever, my partner will never find out, and I'll just make everything okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when her friend's husband dies, Marla's going, well, you know, this could happen to anybody, and I really need to know what's going on. And Ned was very secretive and didn't want to share. But, of course, Marla has every right to know. And once she found out, they started working together as a couple to work through this predicament that Ned had gotten themselves into.
What I like about the book is that even though there are these different scenarios regarding money, and I think by your writing it as a novel, it's much easier a read, and you put a lot of good, solid information in it. But regardless of what the scenario is, you make a presentation about these women working together, and Lori seems to be the one that is the nucleus of support for all of these women, and they feel safe talking about what they're going through. And this is something that I think is extremely healthy, to be able to have that positioning of communication with a group such as these friends form themselves into, and being able not to go through the bashing stuff, but to say, what are we going to do to handle this? How do we develop what we need to do? And I really like the way you presented the interaction among these women.
Well, I couldn't agree more that women are very communicative. We're very, very much about relationships. And if you can get a group of your friends to get together and, like you said, work together and share, I think there's nothing that we can't accomplish and that we can't learn. And while Lori would just be the obvious choice because she's a financial planner, you could all learn together if one is not particularly savvy about money. There's no reason why, with the information out there, that you can't all learn together as a group. And just so very and very important, as you said, about communicating with your friends as well as with these couples, as I alluded to earlier, talking to one another to work through these issues.
What I like, too, is the portrayal of Rita as a character, recognizing that she is capable of handling responsibilities that she sort of didn't want to do, but she's capable of doing it. She really is. And she ends up working with the company. So, and involving the employees, it's like we're in this together, or we're just going to have to close the doors. And the turnaround of involvement on the individual parts of the corporation that she's finding herself in charge of is really quite an eye-opener for her, and she proves to be a competent individual that is able to work with other people and work other people well. So she discovered her strengths, and I like that positioning because I don't know of anybody, Star, that hasn't said, oh, good Lord, can I tell you about my flunky failure that I had? Oh, can I warn you about this? We all have had situations. Sometimes we've had more than one. But the reality is nobody gets through life without getting a scar somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's what you do with it. How are you
right.
going to grow from it? How are you going to find out your strengths? So let's talk about what you really wanted to emphasize in the book. You had five steps that you went through. One was finding out where you are. For someone who's listening to this show right now, what should they do to find out where they are?
Well, there are a couple of forms on my website that everybody could go to and go through the exercise of determining where you're at. So that's both looking at your income and your outgoing, and then your assets and your liabilities.
That's called a personal inventory assessment, correct?
It's the, yes, there's there's a couple. Let's see, what did I end up calling them? There is the cash income and expenditure statement, and then there's also a balance sheet in there.
All right, so you have that. And by the way, her website, and I'll give it to you again, is starcochran.com. That's StarCochran. All right, so we do that. We find out that we may or may not have a whole bunch in assets. We may find out that there is exactly 30 cents left in our checking account. We may find out that we have XYZ dollars coming in and our credit cards are, ho-ho, really taking a lot out. Then you have a step two, and that's adjustment. Adjustment of what?
An assessment of, now that you've looked at where you are, what are we going to do about it? And one of the other messages in the book is that we have to discover for ourselves what's going to work for us. So there's no magic formula that is going to work for everybody. So each of these characters, once they find out kind of where they're at, they start looking at where do they want to go with this? How are they going to fix this situation? And each of them chooses a different path. So Jade likes real estate, so she's going to concentrate in real estate. And Marla comes up with a product idea to start her own company. And Rita, as you were discussing about the company and bringing that out of the financial situation that they're in. And with Lori, it's really how to start a dialogue with her husband to get on the same page so that they can move forward in a positive direction with their finances.
You also have here step number three, to pay off credit cards. Don't charge. Pay cash as much as you possibly can. And you have a suggestion of paying the lowest amount due on a credit card off first. And I think that that's good advice. Whatever someone is comfortable with, whatever you want to do is wipe them out. Wipe them out as quickly as you can. Because you're losing money the longer that you have them in positioning, and the quicker you can pay them down, the better it is. And credit cards are a wonderful asset to be able to utilize, but mm-hmm. when you are using them for expenses that you cannot cover, then you're in deep trouble. If you use them to buy groceries, you end up paying a lot more for your groceries than you would have if you paid cash for it. You still are going to have that bill facing you every single month, plus interest tacked on. I like what you said in your book. You said finances aren't always just about crunching numbers. It's personal, and decisions are often made emotionally, not logically. What would you say to someone, Star, that maybe is feeling like they're on an emotional roller coaster right now and wonder if they're ever going to get off of it?
Well, I think it may sound a little cliche-ish, but we need to take a breath and just really assess kind of where we're at and how we're going to get out of this. And we often buy, getting back to the emotional side of it, we often buy on emotion. So one of my suggestions is to take a timeout from a purchase. So before you go ahead and pull out that credit card to buy whatever you happen to see while you're shopping, if you wait, I know 30 days sounds like a long time, but life looks different in 30 days, and that purchase that may have seemed so important and so wonderful at the time, 30 days later doesn't seem all that important. So once we start really looking at how we're spending our money and where we're spending it and on what, I think that can make a tremendous difference on getting our finances under control as well as just really looking at money as a means to get through our lives and just getting a whole new attitude about money.
You talk also about increasing income. There was a young man that I was having a conversation with. He's going to school. He's working two jobs, and he's wanting to go after a particular degree. So fortunately, he's in a situation where he's still at home with his family, but he saved all of his money so that he said he's looking forward to being able to rent a room, be out on his own, and then continue and finish his education. Now, he thought this through quite carefully, But he has really been very diligent about saving his money, being at home with his family. And again, mm-hmm. he's young. He's like 20 years old. But he says, I've got to get my education. Mm-hmm. If I don't get my education, I'm going to have a real tough time being able to find work. And he said, I'm doing this menial stuff right now, but I'm looking to graduate into a particular career environment. And I thought, this is a young man that really has had some very good coaching and has a good head on his shoulders because he's managing his money well. To increase income, some people just can't do more than one job. They just cannot possibly do two. Sometimes people do three. But they maybe have family, and it's all they can do just to manage their life with one income. What would you say to that person if they said, gee, I need to increase my income. How am I going to do it? I have everything I've got is going out for my family and our bills. What do I do?
Well, I think that there's always room to tweak on the expense side. As I said, we get on automatic pilot with so many aspects of our lives, and I think we do that with paying our bills as well. So really taking a look at where we're spending our money and how much we're spending on things. And there's always a way to save a little bit here and there. So that would be my first thing, my first suggestion. The other thing is that I would suggest that maybe there's a hobby that you enjoy doing that you might be able to earn some extra money, helping somebody else with that hobby, conducting little classes. There's all sorts of things you do just to make a little bit extra money while perhaps you're having some fun. So again, I think it's very important that you maybe get your group together to do some brainstorming. You know, they say that, you know, many heads are better than one. So if you're all kind of in the same situation and say, well, what could we do? And throw some suggestions out there and see what turns up.
You talk in your book about some pretty basic things, that 35% of one's net income should be for housing. Debt should be about 10%, transportation 15%, savings 10%, and everything else 30%. How has that changed from the past?
I think that is has been pretty much the norm. I haven't seen any statistics that it's changed a whole lot over the years. I think for most people, if they have followed that formula, I think they've done pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. I think that kind of a formula is pretty good. For those of you listening, the Bread and Butter Chronicles is about personal finance, coming from a perspective of various scenarios put in a novel format that really give you some down-to-earth basic information. Jade was an individual that was very resourceful because she really wanted to get into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was savvy about trading for services. And I think in today's environment, a lot of people are doing that. We watch Little House on the Prairie where people, you know, traded eggs for mm-hmm. cutting the wood. Well, that's mm-hmm. not something new. That's been around forever. It's often called bartering. But mm-hmm. regardless, trading for services to be able to get things done often is done, and it's a very good idea.
I agree, and I think it comes down to, again, just thinking outside the box. So what's our goal? What do you want to accomplish? And in Jade's situation, she found a house that she fell in love with, and she pretty much spent what she made, so she didn't have much saved away, so certainly didn't have a down payment. And she had gone through, like the rest of us, the downturn in the housing market, and so she didn't have any equity in her house to come up with a down payment. So she starts thinking, well, how can I make this happen? And as it turns out, the people who were selling the house needed to and were in a position that they didn't need all the money, and they were able to carry the note, which was perfect for Jade. She mm-hmm. makes good money. She could And as things change, she might be able to pay them off. But this was a perfect solution for the time being. And I think, again, it's, the old stuff still works, as you said.
Absolutely.
Bartering has been going on for a long time, and we kind of forget. But there are people who want services that we can perform and vice versa. So what can we work out to serve both of our needs?
Right, and to do it in a way that we feel very satisfied, and it is absolutely a pleasure to be able to do that. And I think it saves face. You keep yourself respect. You're not shortchanging anyone, and it's a win-win all the way across the line. Now, one of the aspects about your book that I really enjoyed was the section right in the back. And this is about, I'd say, about a quarter of the book. And because of the various scenarios that you presented in your storylines that you have, you address certain facts and realities. And one of them is, if you have a spouse that dies, what do you do? And you don't want to put it off. You want to be sure that you have a death certificate, insurance policies. You want to know about all of the insurance policies. A marriage certificate, if there's the individual that passes away, if it's been in the military, you want to be sure that you have the military discharge papers, and if you know of someone that can assist you with this, it's a great thing to be able to ask them to help you, because when a spouse or member of family dies, it can be very traumatic and very hard to do. You need to know where the will is. You give a lot of good information. You also talk about benefits. And this section especially is involving Social Security benefits, insurance proceeds, employee benefits. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that most people just say, oh, well, not today. I'm not going to have to worry about it. But having all of those records available in an easy access location is very important. That and what, you know, to do with a will. And if you have options, how to work with them, how to increase cash flow, you've got money-saving ideas in here, just all kinds of good, practical, down-to-earth information that I think just about anybody could benefit from. Now, I know you have your website, starcochran.com. And, Star, in the time that we have remaining, your book covers so many wonderful aspects. It's very, very easy to read, and it's very thought-provoking on certain levels. What would you like to leave my audience with in the way of a thought or suggestion?
Well, I like to say that if we talk about money, love can keep us together, and if we don't, money will tear us apart. So if I can leave your listeners with one message, it's really all about communication and being proactive in your family's finances. So you could either choose to deal with it today when you are in an unstressed position, or you are going to be forced to deal with the family finances at a time where maybe it is when you're grieving or where you're looking at going through a divorce, which can be very, very stressful.
Mm-hmm. So or you can have someone that becomes very critically ill, and all of a sudden you're left with all the stuff that you have to take care of.
Right. So
very important
to have that topic or to have that discussion.
I think that, again, the information in your book is very well stated, and I love the thoroughness of it. I like your, pun intended, novel presentation. And I do think that the more we can become of where we are, what we're doing, and understand that as women, we need to be able to talk about money comfortably. Men, many times, should be more comfortable in talking about money. There's often a feeling that because they're the male, that, gee whiz, they're supposed to handle everything. I can tell you, I've had too many clients, women clients, who after their husbands died were in just awful messes and couldn't even get to cash when they needed to. I know I've known more than one that almost ended up destitute. Very, very sad. So it's important that men and women be comfortable about talking about money and planning together, because it really is important. Ignorance is not bliss when you lose a spouse, a significant other in any way, shape, or form. It could be a mother and father that's got, you know, property. It doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
So Bread and Butter Chronicles by Star Cochran is a good read. It's a very good read. And if you have reading clubs, this would be a great one to share. The Bread and Butter Chronicles by Star Cochran. Go to her website, starcochran.com, StarCochran.com. Star, thank you very much for being my guest today. And for those of you listening, we're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, and I want to let you know what the telephone number is that you can call in to if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. It is 888-815-9756. For those of you that are listening to this broadcast for the first time, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I'll then tell you what I perceive, and after that, when I finish, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you may want to know about. Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. Let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Caller, welcome. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Oh, hi, Pat. Is it springtime there in Connecticut?
Yes, we're having a long spring. It's been raining the past couple of days, but we all feel we deserve this long spring.
Well,
I'm
with you. Okay, Pat, the first thing that is coming into my mind is a lot of hard work. There is a need to be very organized, to be able to really take time to put into positioning what it is that you want structured. Now, a lot of habits, patterns, routines that you have pretty much stuck with for a long period of time are being shaken up. That's not bad. I think it is good. I think you're going to find yourself feeling as if you're making a breakthrough in your own life that you have not been able to succeed at doing before. So you've got your work cut out for you, and I think that it is going to serve you very, very well. There are going to be some unexpected visitors that are going to be coming your way. So be sure you have something in your pantry if you needed to whip up some cranberry orange muffins real quick or whatever that's just very easy for you to do, that you'd be able to do that and you'd feel like the good hostess. because they will be there for a visit, and having a little something extra is always a good thing. Money is going to be a bit of an issue for you, not a big one, but it is going to be an issue. So you need to use good common sense as far as what your priorities are, where you want to save your money, where you want to put it out in the way and manner that's going to bring you the best benefit. What's on your mind, Pat? What would you like to ask me today?
Well, it relates to your program and money. I'm the one that's hopefully moving into an artist sort of collective apartment building, and I bought a steam cleaner in hopes to take on one or more cleaning jobs. And I was kind of beating myself up. I think it might be defective, but I'm not sure. And I just thought I would ask you and if I should go for a refund or if I should upgrade. It seems that a lot of people upgrade, which would be $100+. First of all, do you see this as being defective?
First of all, I want to ask you why in the world you're looking at steam cleaning. Because it's not something, you don't seem to have a whole bunch of physical stamina when I'm saying this, and I'm not putting you down, but I think you're going to end up spending more money on a piece of machinery. You need to sit down and really look at your numbers. How many hours will it take you to do what you need to do? And I think the machine is not defective, I just think it's a lousy machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you would be wise to go and get a refund. Now, if you're really interested in doing this and you really want to do enough jobs where you can make some income, I would check around first. I really would. I wouldn't just assume this. I think it's better for you to put the money in your pocket and to say, thanks, but this is not going to work. This is not a good machine. Turn around, get your money back. And then ask yourself what you're really interested in doing, where you could put yourself, where you're going to be in an environment of people that, one, are going to be supportive of you, two, will want you to do work with them off and on for about another year and or maybe longer, and three, are you really going to be willing to do what it takes to drum up the work? I think you need to shop around for something. I don't think the machine. I think the machine is exactly what it is. I don't think it's that good.
What about upgrading to the next machine?
All right. I want you to do some mathematics here. I want you to sit down, look at how much it's going to cost you. How many jobs would you have to do to be able to see a double value?
Right. Well, I'm already doing house cleaning, and I have used a steam cleaner, and it does help, and it is more efficient. And I've used them before in the past. This isn't a huge machine.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the finest steam cleaning machine that I'm aware of costs a couple of $1,000s, and it's not
huge. No. I'm not spending that.
All right. I understand here. But I think you really need to sit down and work out your numbers. Because you're making this investment. It might be less expensive for you to rent something. When you have a job, go and rent a machine. Rent it and use it, unless it's too much for you to handle. So that's what you have to look at. What are the facts that you need to deal with? And if you decide you want to really do that, that's fine. But though you're doing housekeeping, there is another level you might want to incorporate in, and that's fine. But you must make sure. I would check with some people that really know about machines. And make sure you have one that's really reputable, and maybe it would be less expensive for you to rent the machine rather than to buy it. But I think you need to do the numbers, Pat.
Can you give me advice on this particular machine of upgrading? Because there's a difference in the machines. The upgrade is built in Italy. This one is built in China.
I think you need to talk to people that understand the machine.
Okay.
I'm concerned that you're going to be putting out a lot of money in your space. It's a lot of money. And the return on this is not going to be what you expect it to be. So that's what you need to look at.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Pat. Thank you for your call. Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
This is Donna Siebel, and telephone line is open for you if you'd like to call in, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All of us will have to deal with challenges at some time in our life. And there was a couple, Andrea Clark and her son, Zach, and her husband. She said, you know what, my husband lost his job. He had been working as a miner in Nevada. He got laid off. And I had a job, but I was a bus driver. I wasn't making that much money. Between my husband and myself, it was fine. But when his job went, we weren't going to be able to survive on my income. And she was very fortunate, she said. Her church ended up helping her out, her and her family out. But she said, you can't rely on these people to do this all the time. Well, she had some adult children. And her eldest suggested that Andrea, her husband, and her young son, who was 9 years old, move in with his family. And they did that. She said that where they were living in Utah, and the husband was actively trying to find work, and Andrea was trying to find work too. Now, what happened is it really helped out. It cut the outgo of money in half, but it was too challenging. It was too tight a space for two households, and she was able to find another job, another bus job with another school district. And she said, my mom had an 1,800 square foot house in a particular area, so they decided they were going to move into this house that was empty. And so they had to switch schools for their 9-year-old son for a second time. And they said moving was just exhausting. Her husband, again, is still looking for work. But she said, I found something out. One, I was able to reestablish a relationship with my mother. And she said, my husband has just been great at helping her around the house. And she said, where we're living, everything costs a lot less than where we were living before. And she said, we're already seeing where we can, through good financial management, be able to leave my mother's home in about 6 months. Might take a little bit longer than that. But they've really learned to enjoy each other's company. Now, this is a family situation where people are trying to do the best with what they've got. Challenges come in. You move on to a new environment, and you eventually can figure out how to settle things down so that you have a fulfilling life. But you never give up what you're trying to attain. And I think my guest, Star, who was with us earlier, was trying to bring that point across, too, in her book, The Bread and Butter Chronicles. Remember, wherever you are in your life is where you are at this moment. Things can change very dramatically. For the better. But it takes being mindfully present about where you are and not feeling like life is just treating you horribly, but that there are many things that you can enjoy that otherwise you would never have considered. I think of a very good friend of mine who, a few years ago, had to move because her husband was transferred into an area of the far north. She had always lived in the Seattle area and was just absolutely traumatized, had never, ever been away from the metropolitan environment, was moving into a world totally 180 degrees different from anything she'd ever known. Well, she and I talked about this, and she was just having a fit, and I laughed, and I said, well, I've got news for you. Not only are you going to adapt and adjust to your new environment, but you're going to cry when you leave it. Well, as it turned out, it was about 2 years later, and that's exactly what happened. She was crying when she was leaving because the environment she had moved into, often the weather was very, very bad, but she said she got to know her neighbors. And while she had lived in the Seattle area, in her whole life, she never did know very much about her neighbors. She said, we didn't know each other. We just went about our busy lives. But she said, up here in the far north, I got to know my neighbors. My children were playing with the neighbors' children. We'd be in each other's houses. Sometimes the electricity would be out. She said, we'd invent games. She said, I've made friends like I have never been able to make friends before in my life. As I said, she cried when she left. Adversity many times can bring us gifts that we would not be able to recognize maybe at the moment, but often in reflection we can see. And that's what you need to remember. Life is about living. Life is about being present with where you are and who you are so that you can move on to where you really want to be. So don't ever give up the dream. Just keep the trust, keep the faith, and keep on doing. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Today we were talking about how to work with money. Well, what can you do to attract it? Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. David Chi about the total law of attraction. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard about so many different publications on this. I like Dr. Chi. I like his directness, and I think you will enjoy it as well. So let's look for the gold in opportunity and find out what he has to say tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is extremely important. It's A Parent's Guide to Texting, Facebook, and Social Media. Sean Marie is my guest, and I'll tell you, she has a story to tell that is unbelievable, but it is believable because it's real. On Thursday, we're going to be talking about You're the Boss, 5 Steps to Take Charge of Your Health. Physician Gary R. Epler is going to be my guest on Thursday, and he has got some wonderful, wonderful, proactive things that you can do. On Friday, we will be speaking with an Australian forensic healer. She's touring in certain areas of the United States. I was contacted, and her name is Marisa Russo. We're going to be finding out about her healing talents and why she's here in the United States and what she can share with us on Friday. So I hope that you'll share that information. Now remember, the guests that I have on the show, they're listed on the page where you find me. You'll find show information. Just tap on that and you'll be able to go in and review the information about the people that are coming up at your convenience. I have a fabulous story for you today that I really found very touching. But before we do that, we're going to be going to the telephone lines and taking this next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
The letter R, Tacoma, Washington.
From Tacoma. All right. Are you getting any sunshine? We finally had some peep out over here. Is there any in your neighborhood?
It's nice out.
Oh, I'm so glad. I really am ready for more sunshine, I'll tell you, especially in the Pacific Northwest. All right, R, let's get down to business. First thing I'm looking at is a contract. When I'm looking at the contract, I feel like you've got a pretty good handle on it, and you just need to verify and clarify certain dates that perhaps are not going to be covered as they should be in the document. So you want to go through it, and I'd recommend that if you take a ruler and just go down this contract line by line, and anything that you have any questions about, take a yellow highlighter. And, of course, you should make a copy of the contract before you do this. And use your yellow highlighter to be sure that you have clarity. If anything needs to be changed, then you change it before you sign that document. That is going to make a great deal of difference to you. There's also something about pulling up roots. I don't know if you're planning on moving, but there is a big transition that you're looking at putting yourself through. And I think if you plan it out far enough in advance, you're going to be all right. If you try to do it too fast and too quick, I think then you're going to have some challenges. And you could end up having some difficulties with, I think, a level of credit value that you do not want to disturb at all. So be aware, you've got a real intense 2.5 months ahead of you. And I do think that paying attention to details is very, very important. Do not ignore the details. Assume nothing. Take care of the small stuff, and everything else will fall into place as you need it. What's your question for me, R?
Yes, everything you mentioned just matches to my question.
What was the question?
I had an affair with women in entertainment. Can you tell me the first name of the women that I fathered a child with?
No, I cannot.
Okay. How about the financial?
Well, the financial positioning, you're going to have a bit of a rough road because you've got some obligations financially, and this is where paying attention to the detail really is important. So when it comes to finances, you really need to sit down and look at what your objective is for maybe the next 6 months. Lay out your objective for 6 months. Then, I would say, we're towards the end of the year, then re-look at what your objectives are. Now, if you pay attention to the details, you're going to be able to smooth out the financial road because you're going to be eliminating, if you're wise, a lot of the unnecessary costs that you currently are looking at. You'll be able to put those in their proper place, if not eliminate them. So it's going to be very, very important for you to pay attention. Do not ignore what needs to be taken care of. By the end of the year, you should be able to look at another 6 month plan for yourself, and you'll have a little bit more flexibility. I believe that if you're attentive, by the end of 2012, you should find yourself feeling comfortable financially, but you must take care of the details. Don't assume things are going to take care of themselves. They will not.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, R, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. Well, you know, I'm not going to have the time for this story. It's just an amazing story about a woman who finds something. Well, it was a silver bracelet. Very special story. So if I have the time tomorrow, I'll be happy to share it with you. It's just absolutely incredible. But quick like a bunny, if you are a person that's always worried about your pets, goodness gracious, I know my Scotties, I always get very concerned. What if they got out of the yard? What if something happens? What if you couldn't find them? Well, we have the little identity tags underneath the skin. But here are a couple of tips, and you know most of them, and that is to ask neighbors, check shelters, put up signs. But you can also utilize a website called FidoFinder.com or Pets911.com. Have you ever heard of them? I hadn't. Both of these organizations keep databases of lost and found pets arranged by area. You can also post a free dog alert in the classified section at petfinder.com and then check the site's found dog section. Also, for a fee, you can register at petamberalert.com or lostmydoggy.com. which, along with everything else that you would be doing, that would be distributed to your local vets and animal shelters. By golly, there's so much that is available today that wasn't available too long ago. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. It feels good being home in the Pacific Northwest, and woohoo, the sun came out. Can't beat that. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so glad we were able to spend this day together. Thank you so much for being with me. Tomorrow, let's get those laws of attraction working hard and fast. Tune in and find out more. Donna Sebo, talk with you manana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.